Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Monday morning, 59 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 60 in Oshkosh, getting all the way up to 81 today. Should be a fun week weather-wise. Being joined right now by Gretchen Mattingly and Jennifer Birschbach talking about Evergreen Theater, a place that we've enjoyed promoting and some of the... You went to an event there.
Right? A lot of
Gilligan's Island?
Was that there? That was good. That was fun. I've been to a lot of stuff. Evergreen.
We had the whole cast.
Community theater.
Yeah.
And we're just talking that I think everyone has in Green Bay has seen, if they haven't, is the best Christmas pageant ever. Which, how many years have you been doing that?
30 years, I think.
I know. That's been a long time. Yeah. I always say to people, oh, I just don't feel this getting into Christmas spirit. That's a good one to go to. There's some things over at the Widener. There's just, you know, the Botanical Garden. But that... You know, I went to that for years and years, and it's great. But what do you got going on right now? Yeah, it's a great tradition. But you have...
Did you know he played Tiny Tim in high school? He did, right? Was it high school?
I didn't know. I was in grade school. Tiny Tim, but
yes. Well, I'll tell you, next season is... Not this season, but next season is Evergreen's 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a season of classics, and it's very likely we might want you to redo that role.
Yeah. Oh, hey, good luck for the person that has to carry around on his shoulder.
I was going to get Andre the Giant to get on my
show. Holy man.
Yeah, but I'll be much thinner by then because I'm on his weight loss program.
So can you tell? They'll put him on a scooter or something.
40 years.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. So tell me a little bit. I know you got a big
event. How do you survive?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That's a good question.
It is.
Because
really
you raised every buck pretty much, yeah. Right?
Right.
A lot of volunteers.
All volunteers. All volunteer run. There are no paid positions. Evergreen was the brainchild of Bev Sachs and Max Frost. They were at a party for another theater event, I think. And she really wanted to do a Christmas carol, but that wasn't in that other theater company's venue or wheelhouse. And so they started talking about it, and Max said, well, what's holding you back? And she said, finances. Well, was a finance guy. So they made it happen, and the very first performance was A Christmas Carol in December of 1985 at the Vic Theater, which is now Confetti's, for those of you who aren't from around here.
I think there's some chatter of getting that thing back to a theater.
That's what we heard, yeah.
That would be really great.
It would be really great.
And wouldn't it be fun to be able to perform there at some point?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who knows what'll happen, right?
It's a great building. One of the classic buildings.
With the Meyer down there. And we are at the Grand Theater in Oshkosh. And there's just so many great theaters, the Capitol in Manitowoc.
Tarleton.
Right.
So we need those venues.
Yep.
So I think we've all seen something with Evergreen. And I want to just, there's two things I want to talk about. One is your event that's coming up on September 5th. And what that's all about. Am I have the right date? And the other thing I want to talk about is how it's kind of open to anybody. I mean, but you got to try out. You know what I mean? Like, I think Johnny's got kids in theater. It's just a lifelong learning skill. I just love it.
Yeah. So I am for sure, like, trying out.
By the way, this
theater.
Is Jennifer.
Yeah, like, Jennifer. Yeah, so we got Gretchen, and Jennifer Birschbach.
Yeah. Yes.
Birschbach.
Yep. Trying out for theater is something that, like, I had never done growing up or anything, but my son 2 years ago convinced me to try out for a play just because he wanted to do something with me. And it was honestly one of the best experiences that I've ever had. We just had a lot of really great, like, we met a lot of really great people, become friends with them, gained a ton of confidence. And it's just trying out. It really is.
And now she is so involved that she's on the radio talking about it.
See, that's awesome.
You're exactly right about one thing, though. Confidence.
Yes.
That is so important.
Yes,
it is. It is. And it's such a skill that, like, you know, especially for kids growing up, but even as adults, like, just to get out there and you know, learn how to just have that presence about you. It's really important.
Not be afraid of all those people sitting out
there.
I mean, public speaking, as they say, one of the top fears, you know, burning is... Right, it's right up there with burning in a fire, dying in a fire.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think when they learn at a young age, it gets easier and easier. I mean, everybody gets the butterflies a little bit, but I just think it's been great. I think it's great for youth. So what's coming up that people, tryouts, and how do people become aware of everything that's going on at Evergreen?
Well, we have auditions for each show. Our first show is actually cast already, but auditions should be coming up soon for the Best Christmas Pageant Ever. I think that they're late August, early September.
Yeah.
The best way to find out is to go to our website, evergreentheater.org.
Okay.
And check out to see there are tabs up the top, what the season is, tickets, shows, auditions.
Yeah.
And then you will get the actual dates rather than me trying to remember what
do you know
are.
Any other shows that you have off the top of your head?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I can recite the whole thing for you. So we're opening.
I want to see Todd, I want you to chime in if you, oh, you're off the mic there. Okay. I just wanted you to chime in with a bell or something if you think either Jim or I would be have a part in any of these. Go ahead. One for me, two for Jim.
Okay. All right. So we have two seasons because we have a young actor's side and we have an adult side. Getting to the young actor side, Next Door Theater, which had been around since 1969, merged with us in 2000. Okay. So that's why we have a young actor and a main stage side. So we open September 18th with The Haunting of Hill House.
Hmm.
Which, if any of you are Netflix watchers, you may recognize that title. And then
where do you perform? Do you perform here then on Chestnut?
We'll get to that.
Okay, all right. I didn't know you merged. I got to be honest with you. I didn't know that. So
well, it's 2000. It's 24 years ago. So,
he's been busy.
Yeah,
just a little.
He's got a new dog.
All right. So, Haunting of Hill House, Charitable Sisterhood, Christmas Spectacular. The main stage season is all a little bit suspense.
Okay.
So Haunting a Hill House explains itself. Charitable Sisterhood, somebody has stolen baby Jesus from the crush.
Ah.
And they don't know who it was. So they need to find out. Lost and Found in IKEA.
That one sounds like really a lot of fun.
It does. And a lot of people relate to that because evidently they've been lost and then found in IKEA. And then the main stage season closes with The Vultures, which it's a dark and stormy night.
Wow.
And the many people are gathered together to hear the reading of the will. And
not
somebody
fun.
Gets killed. So,
sounds like some heavy stuff here.
So that's main stage. And then Young Actors is Best Christmas Pageant Ever. The absolutely true story of King Arthur.
Okay.
And Sleeping Beauty Briar Rose, kind of told from a different point of view. So it's a fun season.
Cool. Very cool.
That spin off like Wicked, a little bit different angle on the same thing.
A little bit different angle.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that sounds interesting.
How's the talent pool around here?
Oh my word.
They are so good. Like all the kids are fantastic. Like they work so hard to put these things together, and when it comes all together, it's just the quality of it is fantastic.
And not only kids, but adults. Yeah. And it's not just the people on stage. It's the people directing or designing lights or designing
set
costumes
people.
Or pulling props together or stage managing, you know, like a floor director,
yep.
stage managing the whole thing while the show's going on. So there is a plethora of talent in this area.
That's awesome.
All right. So tell me about the locations then, your performance.
Okay. So we had been performing at St. Norbert for a number of years.
Right.
This year we are going to be performing at Cedar Creek Event Center on Cedar Street in De Pere. And it is an event center, not a theater. So it is an interesting twist for us to have to set up what will be a stage and lights and seats and a green room area and dressing rooms and all this. And then at the end of the show, tear it all out and then do it again.
Every night?
No, not every night. For the run of the show.
Okay.
For the run of the show. Oh, my word. I can't even imagine.
Wow. Every
for the run of the show. So luckily we have four shows that are two back to back so that we have 2 weeks that we don't have to do that up and down and up and down. But
you know, I just want to say this too. It's like I was the last guy in the world who would ever, anybody ever thought would, like I was going to a junior college. We didn't have anything in high school like that, but I always thought I wanted to get somehow in the media and everything. And I had a class, and the professor also was the director. He said, "You should try out for, you know, this one play." I'm like, "I've never done that before." And I got to be honest with you, that helped me to this day in my career. And I'm not kidding. We're talking about the confidence, but also just, you know, getting some professional guidance when you're doing something like that and following those orders, and versus just sports, which I was out where they just yell at you. You know, I'm from the area where the coaches just yelled at you. And this was something different. And it sparked me. I thought, I love this. I enjoyed it so much. You can't believe it. And I think there are so many kids that on the server, I'm not doing that. But a little bit of a push, little bit of letting them know what this could lead to. I think it can change. I don't mean to sound corny, but it can almost change lives in that it takes somebody from, you know, being set back and reticent about that to, I can do this. And that gives you such confidence, you can't believe it.
I agree. Yeah, it really does. It just is amazing how you can watch someone who is like kind of withdrawn and you know, holding themselves back, and then all of a sudden they get on stage and they just flourish.
Absolutely right. And you know the thing is, and Gretchen, you know this too, so many times with people in TV, they come out of college and they come into a TV station. Gretchen and I worked in TV together for lots of years. And, you know, it's like, well, what's your experience? Did you do radio? Well, no. Did you do theater? Oh, no. Did you do anything? No. They just do the bookwork, and then think they're somehow going to have this personality.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
No, you need to have...
You have to build up to that.
Yes, yes. And one of the things that is really great, you know, we talk about confidence, but I also theater also helps create teamwork, acceptance, problem solving, and creative thinking. If somebody forgets a line on stage, you don't want to just stand there and have dead air.
Right.
You want to have something happen. And it's if you're the person in that position, it's bad.
It's terrible.
But if you are the person who's helping them get out of that position, it's a great thing. And those are skills that last a lifetime. Whether you come into theater as a kid or as an adult, it's beneficial.
So funny you should say that. The very first show I ever did, this little community college up in Minnesota, the lead actor, Huck Finn, okay, kind of he forgot his lines. And he was looking at me, and I could see it in his eyes. And we had to, like, ad-lib and take it to the thing. How many times in TV will you be out doing a remote or something, and the video doesn't roll or something, and you got to do things on the fly? Yeah. I'm telling you, that background is a good thing to have, because when you're out there is no safety net. We got to stick around a little bit, okay? Gretchen and Jennifer here from Evergreen Theater. We're talking about this when we come back about girls in technical theater. Okay? Back after this. Mind on the Mayor here on a Monday morning. We've got Gretchen and Jennifer from Evergreen Theater joining us. First, Pella Windows and Doors, we've been talking about them. We mentioned before Deanna and Ben last week. We're talking about the greatest ROI, return on your investment. And it was, I think, 100% for doors and like 80% for windows.
Well, it just, whatever. It was, they're both some of the highest things. People always put money into their bathrooms and their painting, and those are all things that are important, but nothing more important than quality windows and doors. And for two reasons. I think you talk about the return on the investment, that your air conditioner, your heat bills will go down, which, you know, if you, it depends if it takes you a year, 2 years to recoup that money. But, you know, I think the other thing that what I like about Pella is just the variety they have. You know, they come in with their little laptop, and you can look at your window or door, and they can put different doors in, some with the glass that you can see through, some with the arches. And, you know, you've been to my place, and it just, you know, it's an old house, so I need different windows than someone who built their house in the 80s or 90s, you know. And they had that, and it was great. And then the other thing I like about Pella is it's turnkey, right? They do everything. You know, I don't like doing a lot of that. I'm not good at maintenance, so they come in, they do everything. They put the new window, take the old windows out, they put the new windows in, and it's like perfect. So we love them, and I know a lot of my neighbors also, and I live in Astor Park, and they've gone with Pella because, you know, love Menards and everything, but if you're gonna, you know, do it right, you know, you probably want to go to a great company. So that's what we do.
Pella Windows and Doors, PellaWI.com. We've got a texter. I heard something about girls in technical theater. What is that all about?
So this is a program that was started 4 or 5 years ago, and it kind of comes and goes as to when we have the funds to make it happen. There are a lot of men in technical theater.
Right.
Not so many women.
Right.
And so Evergreen, I think it was Trisha's brainchild to start this program that would expose young girls to the facets of technical theater, lighting, costuming, props,
set design,
all this, set building, all that kind of stuff. And so we got a grant from the Greater Green Bay Foundation Women's, and that helped us be able to find instructors and pay them a little something, take girls to shows, and when there was hopefully a woman who was on the technical side of things, have a talk back or an educational session with that woman.
Great.
About what it was like to what it's like to be in the technical side of theater. So we did do it again last year. We are waiting right now to find out whether we have the money to do it again.
How do you raise your money?
Donations.
Okay, just
ticket prices do not cover running a theater. I wish I had the, I wish that people understood scripts are cost money. Rehearsal space costs money. Royalties, whether you have what we used to have a friends and family night where we didn't charge, we still had to pay royalties for that. Royalties can run from $65 a show to $350 a show.
Wow.
Depending on the show. So, and musicals are usually more expensive. So we don't do as many musicals as we'd like. That's partly why we don't. But musicals are a ton of work.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
A ton of work.
That's, I know you got to, somebody wrote it.
I thought there would be honor that you're performing their show.
They kind of deserve it. That's why that
I agree.
Guy at Southwest writes a lot of his own. And that those are unbelievable plays that they put on at Southwest. And we have a lot of good theater in Green Bay. Two things I want to just touch on real quick. The parents who are thinking of theater, it's a bigger commitment than I think they think.
It is. It 100% is.
It is. It just is. But you talk about rehearsal. I think it is. I think sports is worth it. But you look at those kids up there, they put as much time in as the team who's playing hockey. But what I want to say to that is, and like I said, you know, my kids have been in theater. I think it's cool about, it's not real clicky. I mean, everybody really gets along, where sometimes in some organizations and sports, you know, the younger kids don't interact with the older kids. Yeah. But in theater, you guys are all there for, you know, you guys are all kind of hams a little bit. I mean, you're always putting on shows.
Well, you have so much downtime. So you're, you're running through all of your practices. You're going through scene by scene by scene or part by part. And so you might not be in this part, but you might be in the next part. So you just have some downtime where you can really get to know people and you really can like just kind of connect.
Well, show choirs and different things like that in these schools have gotten really, really big. And it's a different era now than when I was, or even you, Jim. It was like, okay, so like when I was going to that little school up in Minnesota, I was playing football and I got in a theater and you take a break and you walk into the commons and there'd be the football players and there'd be the theater people. Right. And no matter which side you sat with, you'd see murmuring. Yep. It's like, which side? Because there was two so different entities. I don't think it's like that anymore, right?
I mean, we have not had that experience in any of our shows. Like the kids work with us and like I did a show, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. And like,
oh, cool.
I got to know some of the kids like so well because we had to interact all the time. And they learned how to like come to us, the adults, to just and be kind of peers, which was really
what are
cool.
Your backgrounds in theater?
Oh, I just started just because my son made me.
Okay, cool.
And that was like 2 years ago. But yeah, that was the only experience I've ever had with theater, which I mean, but it's been great.
I was a theater person in high school, but we didn't do musicals or anything. It was just one play a year. Excuse me. And then in college, I had the goal of being a theater person, but it was always backstage. I'm a backstage person. I've been on the stage a few times, and I was.
Then you did that in TV for exact segued in.
Yep, it worked really well. You know, some of theater translates to some of TV, so right. That's how I got into TV. But when I turned 50, I decided I needed to do something that took me outside my comfort zone, and worked with Stu Smith, and he said, "Come be part of Heritage Players." And so awesome. I did that, and that got me into Evergreen, and I've kind of been with them ever
since.
What
a legendary name right there.
Man, he's something else. Yep. Everybody knew him. He was great for this community. See, I just want to compliment you on what you're doing for the getting more girls, women involved. And, you know, we did that with police and fire. It was kind of a man's game a little bit. And they relate best if you get a woman to do that. You know, it's right. not like a guy stands up and says, look, girls, you know, you should do this stuff. They're right. like, yeah, but you get the female police officers.
Tell me somebody who's done it.
Well, a police officer, a woman firefighter to talk to girls. It's like, well, this is, I can do this. So I think that's great what you're doing. Yeah, I think theater, you know, I'll put it up there with sports. I just love it. I mean, I tell you what, we have so much money to spend on entertainment and, you know, we split it up pretty well. So yeah, thanks for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And the opportunity for the kids, I think people really need to get to these websites, this evergreentheater.org. And you can see everything that's going on. I just think that's awesome you're doing this. So yeah. All right. Well, we'll
tickets
see
tickets are on sale now.
Okay. Keep us informed of what's going on. Okay.
All right.
Seriously,
thank
we'd love
you.
To promote you guys. Gretchen Mattingly, Jennifer Birschbach, Evergreen Theater. Wonderful, wonderful local theater. We got to send a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Neville Public Museum with Beth Kowalski back after this.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, a couple of great guests there, Gretchen Mattingly and Jennifer Birschbach, talking about the Evergreen Theater. I don't know much about the plays coming up. I was hoping there'd be one that would be like, Of Mice and Men or something, and I could be George again? Yeah. What?
No, maybe they'll do it for you. I think they...
I should have brought my certificate, my actor's
year
certificate.
But you pay for the... What did she say? They have to pay a royalty or something? $300
Oh, that's right. That'd
maybe
be a lot.
If you pay that, they'll put it on.
Steinbeck's been dead for like 100 years. He would never know.
He's got grandkids.
I didn't think of that. So. Beth Kowalski, Executive Director, Neville Public Museum, joining us. Hello.
Good morning.
You have such a great place.
Oh, I love the museum.
You have such a great place.
Thank you.
Wow. You're talking, we're just, I don't have to jump ahead, but you're talking about the Christmas thing. I always think that must be what downtown Green Bay looked like in the 40s maybe? Or and in the first book I wrote, Front Lines, what I tried to do was really, I spent so much time over at the Brown County Library going through.
With Mary Jane Herber.
With Mary Jane Herber. And she showed me how to use the microfilm and everything. And I was going through all the newspapers. I wanted to know what was going on the night before Pearl Harbor. You know how the world was just great. And Green Bay. And one of the things it talked about was like that was the opening weekend of the Prangies or whichever stores it was.
No, it was Prangies.
Their Christmas Prangies. Displays. Mm-hmm. And that was, they said there were like traffic jams like you can't believe.
Yeah.
For how many people would come downtown for that. And I always thought you captured what that must have been like.
Yes.
You guys did a good job with that. I mean, those are terrific displays.
Yeah, Holiday Memories is a staple at the Neville every year. And we'll have it this year. We'll be open mid-November through January. And we bring out the figurines and try to reanimate the scenes to the best of our ability.
Nice.
And, you know, but you have stuff going on all the time.
All the time.
And you have a great display that I took some friends to on last Wednesday. Tell us about the candy chemistry.
Candy chemistry. No, so thank you for doing that because our first Wednesday of the month is free for Brown County residents from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. So thank you for taking advantage of that because it's a give back to the community. But on our first floor, we have an exhibit called Spectacular Science. And it has four different themes of science that we rotate one section annually. But our anchor piece is Lego Lambo. And as you pass Lego Lambo, you go to candy chemistry. So a year ago, we partnered with Cerugi's and Bernstein's and Eileen's Candy and the former Mary Poppas, the former owner of Alpha Delights in De Pere. And we teach chemistry through candy.
Nice. Do you have Joe Cerugi come by?
Yep. We interviewed him. We have his history. He allowed us behind the scenes to do some videography so you get to see how to make melt-aways.
Which is pretty fascinating because my son worked there for a lot of years. And he would tell me about that whole other section where it's like, man, that's where the magic happens.
I know. The team went out there and they came. I said, how was it when they came back? They were like, it was like better than we could imagine, better than Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory, because they were just fascinated. So, yes.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
The museum is, tourists come to the museum.
Yes.
Schools come to the museum. But just the average person, I think some people, before you were there, it was a little stale.
Yes.
That, especially the second floor. And I think the county should put a lot more money into the museum, but they've done a little bit. And what's new?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2019 and 2020, we were able to renovate, with the county support and our private foundation support, renovate our core gallery. So again, the building's 40 years old, but we've been around since 1915. This is our second location. So a 30-some-year-old gallery was meant to be permanent, right? And so it was very difficult for the staff to change out anything, stay on top of current trends.
Can I just ask, where did it used to be?
Hmm?
Where did it used to be?
So we were across right by WBAY. We were on, is that Jefferson Street?
Yes.
We were part of the library.
Oh!
So we started.
A beautiful historic building.
Yep.
Looks like a museum. It's still there.
Oh, it's still there.
The federal judge is in there.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And a few lawyers. And a couple lawyers.
Yep. And so then 40 years ago, we moved across the river to the building we're in. And yeah, so it's core gallery is called the Generations Gallery, completely renovated. We go from the Ice Age to present day. We make rotations within that space. And so, again, we're staying on top of current trends, paying tribute to the past, but also collecting for the future.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Hey, tell me about membership. And you said that Wednesdays is all day now. It used to be 5 to 8 was free to residents, just Brown County residents,
yep,
I take it.
Yep. So for Brown County residents, so we're able to change that. So now we're free. The first Wednesday of each month, we are free for Brown County residents from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., which is a great opportunity. It's usually a very busy day. We always have something new to see. So September, we'll still have candy chemistry up, but we'll have a rotation happening in science. We're going to work on extreme weather as part of our science rotation. And then we have our 79th Art Annual opening in October.
Wow.
Yep. You know, I'm good friends with the people that run the, I actually do some fundraising for the Veterans Museum in Oshkosh.
Yes.
And when I was at Veterans Village, we put together a small museum just kind of for the people. And we went over there to, I said, hey, do you have any stuff laying around? And the guy just started laughing, goes, yeah, can you meet me at the Oshkosh City Warehouse? And they get so much stuff donated. And it's like, you don't want to turn anything down,
right.
But whew, how about, do you guys have that too?
We do. Okay. So when our building was built, the best part of it was the third floor, which is our collection storage is stored on site. So
that's fun to go through
it
too, is what I'm saying.
It is. It's totally worth, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love giving behind the scenes tours of the space, and we're super fortunate to have the collection storage on site. With that, yes, we do have to have conversations with people about, we have 75 wedding dresses in the collection, so likely we're not probably going to take another wedding dress.
Right.
We work with museums across the state, so the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, the EAA in Oshkosh. So again, if it's military uniforms or things like that, we try to make sure that if somebody, a family member is gifting something or an individual is gifting something, we're giving it to the right location.
Right, exactly.
So,
and how emotional it is for them. And, you know, they really
want
you to display it and be the first thing when they walk in. But, you know, you can't. There's a lot of history in this community that people would like to donate or display. But with that said, you have a couple things that are worth a few bucks at that museum.
We do.
So I know you looked at selling it one time. I thought, this is crazy with the taxes, the county charges, the sales tax, the money they're making. We don't have to sell artifacts.
No, we don't. So Brown County owns the collection. Brown County insures the collection, and we are the stewards. That's my job, best steward of the collection, and making sure that we are taking things in appropriately, and we're making sure that we're utilizing and featuring those pieces.
You know, my favorite thing is there, you've got the uniform of the Army officer that was murdered on the steps. a good friend of mine. In fact, he's in my first book. He was a B-24 pilot. No, B-25 in whatever, in World War II, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a pilot. And he lived in the oldest house, like, in the state of Wisconsin. It's in Howard. There was a, where it's, the house was the first one used as a house and is still a house. And it started as a fur trader cabin. Over
in
by
Howard?
The quarry. Yeah.
Really?
Over the quarry. Yeah.
Wow.
His name was Lester Rentmeester. Wow. Okay. And on the steps, you probably know the story, on the steps of his house is where the captain lived for the soldiers that were stationed there in like 1830s, I think. And the guys had gotten a little bit too unruly and he cut off their whiskey rations. Yeah. And a guy,
you want to get him unruly?
No. And one of his soldiers was so mad, he shot him right in his front steps of that place. And that uniform is at your place.
Yes, it's a very unique. So Amos Foster was the officer, yeah. And unfortunately, he did lose his life. It is a very specific military uniform because it's a time period when Fort Howard, as a military fort, was active, but Wisconsin wasn't really engaged in, you know, conflict at the time.
Right.
So the men were a little bored. They, when they joined the...
And they were there to protect the loggers and things like
right.
that and the quarry people.
And, you know, and they also, you know, were doing a lot of infrastructure. So it was kind of boring, yeah. right? For a military, like it wasn't. And unfortunately, yes, they were, they drank quite a bit. And unfortunately, Amos Foster lost his life to one of his men. How the uniform, it left Wisconsin. The family, I think, originally Amos Foster was, I think, from the East Coast, Vermont, maybe New Hampshire. And so the commanding officer at the time wrote a letter to the family, sent all of the men's belongings back to the family. Family ends up in Texas in the 1990s. And apparently the Neville was reached out to, as well as Heritage Hill. And the family gave us a copy of the letter. We don't have the original letter, but they also then we purchased the uniform.
Okay.
And it's this 1830s, yep. very specific time period with
thick wool.
Thick wool, amazing yeah. Federal Eagle buttons. And it is currently on display in the Generations Gallery. It had been a prop for years. We had a copy of it. But then when we did the renovation, the dedication was bring out as many original artifacts as possible. So that is in a custom drawer in the exposed collection section.
Okay, Todd, I'm not lying about this.
Okay.
So I was interviewing Lester. He's probably 96 at the time. And I was doing it in the parlor of this house, which was the first funeral home in the area. Mm. Wasn't an official funeral home, but it was the biggest room they had in the area to hold funerals. And they'd lay the people out for 3 days. I'm not exaggerating this. So I'm getting ready to do the thing, and I hear. And I go, sorry, Les, somebody's at your door. He goes, what? No, there's not. I go, I could have sworn I just heard a knock right outside the door. On the porch. This is no kid. I'm not lying about this. My photographer could say the same thing. And I go and look, and there's fresh snow, and there are no tracks.
Ooh.
That's
the honest to God truth.
That's Todd's thing. Todd loves that kind of stuff.
It was just like this.
I'm one of the guys that don't, you know, I don't buy
I know you don't. I'm just telling you what happened. My photographer said the same thing.
Yeah, I know. That's cool.
And it's like there were no footprints in the snow. Yeah. I'm just being honest. Because my photographer even said, oh, took his earpiece. Oh, somebody's here. No lie.
Sounds like a residual haunting.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Which means that it's just going through the motions of always doing the same thing. So that probably happened at that house a lot.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Beth, the museum, not only do you have your own displays, but you pick up a touring display once
yes.
in a while. Everybody remembers the King Tut, you know, mm-hmm. which is very cool, by the way. What are the things you have coming up that's more on a...
So we're in the last month. So right now we have an amazing art exhibit. It's called Reclaim Creations. The artist is from Japan, but she lives in the Midwest. And she, as a young girl, picked up things from the beaches and started creating looking at recycled plastic art. And so you think of your kitchen drawer that you open up and you think about all the utensils in there. There is a mama polar bear as part of one of the exhibits that its belly is one of those plastic Adirondack chairs. So you have to there's clues within all of these pieces. So we have floating dolphins, we have jellyfish, polar bears, different types of birds, all recycled plastic. So we've got about a month left of that. So totally come in, check that out. And then the big news for 2025 is we're bringing dinosaurs back. Now, the Neville Collection does not reflect dinosaurs. Unfortunately, we have the dinosaurs outside that are art, but we don't have permanent dinosaur parts of our collection.
Well, they're not native to us. We had this discussion the other day. Because all of the glaciers came through.
Exactly. So we don't have dinosaur evidence, but we know our members and our donors and our community love dinosaurs.
And
so,
kids.
And kids. And kids love it. So we actually are renting an exhibit called Darwin and Dinosaurs. We'll have it in March before the draft. So again, March, April, May, June, July, August of next year. And we're really excited about it because we've worked with this firm before, and that's super amazing, good quality science.
That's pretty cool. I mean, Darwin to find the whole evolution thing here. Yep. I take it's tied into that.
Yes.
So,
yep. So how science understands dinosaurs, how we, you know, discover them, how we understand them, how we make connections from dinosaurs to birds. So really, really cool.
I watch these videos all the time. These people usually out west in places like that, yeah, where they'll go to these areas if there's been like a cliff collapse because of erosion, and there'll be like shale and things like that, and they kind of pound them apart and everything. And it's amazing. Well, that's where you find the great fossils.
What?
I've always wanted to do that.
Like the La Brea tar pits, mm-hmm, out in California. You got to go see that. I mean, that's like really cool how that's preserved. So yeah. Anyway, that tell me about the membership. I think we should promote that again, because
absolutely,
I know there's many, many people who are members, but you could always use more.
Oh, absolutely. So the best part of our membership is that we are part of Association of Science and Technology Centers. So if you get a Neville membership, you can travel to Chicago, to Milwaukee, to Minneapolis, and get into any science and technology museum basic admission. So, you know, I took my cousins and my boys to Discovery World in Milwaukee. It would have been like $170 for all of us to go through, but with the Neville membership, it was free. So,
oh, wow. That's
so
fantastic.
So depending on the level of your membership, we can be an individual to a family, but totally worth it.
Outstanding. Great job.
Wait a minute. I just want to be clear on it, because I paid list price in Chicago.
Yep.
So if I
did they know you were the mayor?
Well, they didn't know I was a member of the Neville, I guess. I'm not sure I knew that. Tell me that again, how
so
that
on
works.
So your Neville card, so on the back side of your Neville,
right,
your says membership, so you just need to show that to the...
And what do you pay then?
You don't... If it's a field museum, general admission, free.
Jim, come on.
I know,
he's going,
right,
to make a phone call.
Yes, I was 6 years ago.
Beth Kowalski, Executive Director of Neville Public Museum.
That's
thanks
awesome,
for the great
Beth
work you do.
Thanks
thank
for
you
doing it, Beth.
Great
thank
having you on.
Thank you.
I'm going to open a military museum, you know,
and I'm going to
Green Bay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I want to open up a music hall of fame.
I know.
We've got dreams. Everybody knows. We got dreams. Know. Thank God we're young. Back up. Welcome back, Mine on the Mayor. Special thanks to Beth Kowalski, Executive Director, Neville Public Museum. Special thanks to Gretchen Mattingly and Jennifer Birschbach from Evergreen Theater. Major General Daniel Ammerman talked about a wonderful program they've got coming up. Mario Gonzalez was great talking. I learned from him about who has the right of way when you're trying to cross the street and things like that. And of course, Brittany Merlot talked about the great things happening throughout Wisconsin weather-wise, and why living here this year is probably about as... truly, probably about as good a place as we could ask.
You look what's going on in the rest of the country. Fires, just floods.
115
just
when I talked to my
Debbie
brother in Arizona.
And all that other stuff. Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic.
So I was on the phone. Sorry, I'm back. My dog's getting his haircut, and they called because...
Is he crying or something?
No, he wouldn't do that. But they want to know the length, because, you know, now that we're getting a little bit... But it's... It should be a shorter, should be a little bit longer, and then...
Or are you going to let him outside at all in the winter, or no?
I will. I'll let his hair be longer, though, in the winter.
Okay.
She just said, you want it shorter, do you want it midder?
So, because you're last look, we just got that buzz cut first day of summer vacation,
yeah.
So we didn't have to get a haircut for the rest of the year.
Right. No, I don't do that, but it's a little... Anyway,
how much does it cost for a haircut for Milton?
Yeah, they're a little bit more than... Yeah.
$20? No?
How much?
Like, $110.
Wow.
But he gets his nails done, too, so.
You know. Oh, that's not so bad.
So I know. That's what I thought, too, John. That's what I thought, too.
Well, I remember in our Beagles, when we used to get their hair cut and got their nails done. It was
a different time, John.
Yeah, a different time, John.
Different
time. We'd give them a buzz cut, too, just to get them through the summer. Wow.
Anyway, it was weird. I looked at my phone, and that came up. I thought, oh, my gosh. I thought maybe they nicked him or something.
Oh, wow.
She says, no, we just want to know. We're doing it right. So
I would not want to be the person that nicked Milton.
Yeah.
probably.
That would not be good. That would not be a good thing.
He'll be all happy.
Okay.
Haircut. So anyway, that's good. So anyway, that's why I am a little bit late.
You just made this too easy for them, Jim. That one may not be forgotten. Actually, you missed it the other day, though. We had the, my buddy had compiled the That's What He Said type things from over the
from
whole
the show.
Last couple of
oh
months.
Oh my gosh, it was spot on, too. Yeah. Spot on.
Yeah.
I got to make sure.
Good things.
What if I decide,
try to find that?
They said, if I decide to run again, I got to get to this guy and pay him off.
Maybe.
That is the problem with the radio show.
Very possibly. Yeah, now, boy, what a great lineup today, Todd. Nice work.
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
Know, I think, again, to Civic Media's credit, these are things that I don't know that people would really know, Johnny, if they weren't listening. I think, look, I read, like you, papers, and I don't really watch a lot of TV, but, I mean, it's nice to know that what's going on with this crosswalk and that we're really trying to, you know, bring more awareness to safety.
That was really interesting. And Like I said, I've never lived downtown anywhere before. You know, you go downtown, you do. But like I said, I just thought people were super polite when I'd come up to the crosswalks and there was no light and people would stop. And just like, let's let this old guy cross. I didn't realize that was the law.
And I'm not sure that I knew that this thing in Grafton of children who've
but
lost the military.
Aren't you a little bit surprised that it's not statewide, that all the communities have come together and said, okay, this is how it should be? Because it sounds like different communities have different laws about that, huh?
On the crosswalks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is. Well, states. I think he said that states are sometimes it's pedestrian or vehicle. I don't know about communities. I suppose it is communities. De Pere has different rules than we do.
But that's what I mean. You could be in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And it might be totally different. And
you can always, as a municipality, be tighter than the state. You know, the state might pass something and you can say, well, look, we're going to do this or that. I don't know. I just think it's great that we're bringing more awareness to this because, you know, I think the communities are really trying to be more bicycle and pedestrian friendly.
I hope they are. I got to be honest with you, though. Actually, when I was walking yesterday, and I'm walking right here in Washington, right in the corner again by the Daily Buzz area there.
Yeah.
Okay. And these two cyclists, whatever, come, you know, barreling around the corner and heading south on Washington.
Right.
Which is fine. They were in the bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have all the right. There's a little diagram, bike lane, everything like that. Okay.
Sure lane.
But I would still be nervous doing that because of some person distracted and, you know, and like even, okay, I was at a stoplight yesterday with my granddaughters on Shawano. And I look behind me and there's this car coming in hot.
Yeah.
And it's like, should I go through this red? And then all of a sudden, puts on the brakes. And this is no lie, Jim.
Yeah.
I think she turned around and smacked her kid. And I thought, should I? And I went with Grant, no, don't.
No.
But you know what I mean?
I do.
So, I mean, I think that's wonderful they have those. I don't think I would trust idiot drivers, to be honest with you. It's kind of like, remember in As Good as It Gets with Jack Nicholson? I have so little faith in humanity, I look both ways before crossing a one-way street.
that's
how I feel.
That's just good advice.
Yeah.
What Mario said with what they're doing, everybody's got to be more cognizant. I mean, the pedestrian too, you know what I mean? Like the drivers, every driver, you know, but come on. I mean, the person, they shouldn't be on their phone. They should be looking around and, but I do think we need to do a better job of being safer because it gets pretty close and you hear about that. And people, I mean, it's no secret. People have gotten hit and I think this awareness thing is great.
But that distraction aspect of it, what a difference that can make.
Absolutely.
I remember I had a police officer tell me one time, like people with their phones in the 2 or 3 seconds, they look down to that phone. What can happen? How, you know, in a split second. Yes.
Yes. That is a fact.
Got a texter, John and Jim would be great. Bruce the Spruce at the museum this Christmas.
Absolutely. That's a fun thing. I don't know. Who's climbing in there?
I think you would be great at that.
You would be really great at it.
I would love it if there were two trees and it was the two of you just going back and forth at each other.
We'd be like those cranky trees in The Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
What are you doing picking my... How'd you like if I picked something off you?
Shit, he was hungry.
Yeah.
I still like Paul Lynn, the answer on Match. Was it Match Game? No, what show was Paul Lynn on?
On Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
Paul, the lion wanted a heart from the wizard. What did the Tin Man want?
For the straw man to pay more attention to him.
He was so great.
Oh, my God, was he great. Yeah. Oh.
We talked about that.
Paul, a man goes overboard and people scream, man overboard. When a woman falls overboard, what should you do? Full speed ahead.
And then Peter Marshall, did they talk about that? Did they get kind of lit up between shows?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, no question.
That's all right.
Oh, 70s game shows, man.
The best.
The best. Yeah. Classic.
We got to get
classic.
You a game show. Isn't that one of our
yes.
goals here? All right.
Yes.
We got to work on
we
that.
Got a lot oh, of God, stuff
we got a lot to
do.
All right.
Wow. Todd, great work today, as
yeah,
usual.
Yeah, fun.
All right. We got to go, ladies and gentlemen. Fun show. Thank you for everybody that came on. Thank you for everybody that chimed in. We got another great show for you tomorrow with the lineup. We'll be back. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have a great day. See ya.